today on My Fix It Up Life.
From design to demolition, color to craft, sometimes it's a go, no-go situation. So how do you avoid a DIY don't?
To find out when you should listen to that little voice inside you, we check in with carpenter, woodworker, and designer Ed Sanders from AMC's Owner's Manual and Extreme Makeover Home Edition.
HGTV's Most Embarrassing Rooms host and design star winner Tiffany Brooks pulls back the curtain on epic DIY don'ts and helps us avoid them in the first place.
And that's a go right now in My Fix It Up Life.
Together believes that everyone deserves to live in a safe and healthy home. For nearly 25 years, Rebuilding Together has provided critical home repairs for low-income homeowners in need. With support from volunteers and skilled professionals, Rebuilding Together affiliates complete 10,000 rebuild projects every year, working to revitalize and stabilize vulnerable neighborhoods and communities across the country. Join Rebuilding Together and rebuild in your community. Find out how you can make a difference and get involved at RebuildingTogether.org.
Back inside My Fix It Up Life with my wife Teresa,
my husband Mark, and we have a design star on the phone.
What's up, winter design star?
And this is a great season for stars too, because I'm just thinking about the holidays and glittery things and beautiful stuff,
and I'm thinking about
up.
And I'm thinking about DIY design train wrecks that,
of course,
our guests.
I want the train around the tree, the Christmas tree, to go all smooth and stuff.
That's why traffic slows down at a car accident.
Don't we all?
Hi, Tiffany Brooks. How are you?
I'm great, guys. How are you guys doing? I'm not sure where you are this morning, this afternoon. It still feels like morning to me.
I think it feels like morning to me all day long until I look outside and it's dark again. I'm like, where did the day go? What happened?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're excited. You know, you're a design star, which is exciting to me. And, well, I'm excited, too, because you are doing this show called Most Embarrassing Rooms in America. And we want to know, what are you finding?
Oh, my gosh. The thing is that you find a little bit of everything that you wouldn't even expect people to have. Like, I mean, I found art projects gone wrong. I mean, we found taxidermy. Like, people were stuffing squirrels. It was just hot mess after hot mess after hot mess. Just all compiled into one half-hour show, and it was great. It was fun to do. It was just a lesson in how extreme people can get with their homes in a bad way.
Taxidermy squirrels kind of scare me a little bit.
I mean, yeah, it was nuts. I mean, we found urns with, you know, people's remains in them and, you know, in coffee cups, and they had it on display, and I'm just like, oh, no, are you kidding me right now?
Oh, no.
I think we really just walk into this.
Wow.
Was there an element in throughout all the things you saw on HGTV's Most Embarrassing Rooms in America, like, did they all, like, have some element, like, hoarding or I don't know what?
Collecting.
That sort of stitched it all together in your psychological diagnosis?
The main similarity in all the rooms that we were able to redo where the collection was just out of control. Clutter everywhere. It was collections to the point of clutter. I mean, people have what people have, and people have their collections, and they are prized possessions to people. However, when you have just too much of it, it's clutter. Whether it was taxidermy to holiday decorations, it just was out of control. Like, bomb went off clutter.
So when you're designing a not most embarrassing room in America, do you focus on that kind of thing, like differentiating the spaces and looking for what might be artful versus what might be clutter?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I think that finding those pieces that add the personality, the soul of the room, that is something that you're constantly working on through the whole design scheme, because you can buy a sofa, a couple of chairs, some lamps, and an area rug, but it's just the touches, the accessorizing. What makes this house, this homeowner, these people stand out? You know, what are their souls? What are their stories? And then you often find the answer in that main underlying factor, what makes them tick and what they collect, what they have in their home, what's prized to them, what trophies are there, what family photos are there that we can reuse. Can we do a gallery wall with this entire collection that you have hidden in boxes? What is going to pump some life into this otherwise manufactured room?
I like that you just said, in all the design conversations we've had, you might be the only one who said, get some stuff out of the boxes.
I love it.
And bring it to life.
Yeah.
And that's awesome.
I like that. And, you know, is this sort of in this theme of a Facebook post we saw recently, which is where in Sam's hell to start when designing your home?
Oh, man. You know what? I wouldn't say I would start with what's packed away. What secrets do we have? And treasures. I would say you have to start with the floor plan, because what happens is people are surrounded with this room that they are so used to looking at every day, day in, day out. Their eye becomes trained to look at this room. So they have to kind of empty it out. And that's hard to do when you're sitting in the room. So what I suggest doing is starting with the floor plan. Start with the bones of the room and then step out of the room. Rearrange the furniture and everything like you are starting from scratch. Put ideal pieces in there. You'll see your floor plan and your space open up and in a totally different way if you start with a floor plan blank slate.
Well, and that brings to mind something else that you have that is really good, helpful advice to people getting started in design, you know, thinking about their room, thinking about their spaces, thinking about their home. On your website, youandyourdecor.com, you have a paint guide that I downloaded, which is kind of really interesting, going through all of the little steps and thinking about color and everything, what's right for you inside your home.
Yes. You know, I typically, with color, that's a sensitive issue. A lot of people just walk up to me and ask me, okay, what color should I paint my house? And actually, I was just talking with somebody about this over dinner the other night, and I'm like, well, I don't know. Please don't ask me that question. It is the most asked question that designers get, hands down. It's like, we don't know you. We can't just pick out a paint color from the air. But if somebody, say, for example, you are in love with the color blue or violet, that doesn't necessarily mean that a designer will come in and suggest painting all four walls blue or violet. It means that we will probably come in and say, okay, let's possibly tone it back. But what about a white wall? However, we find this really cool navy fabric, and we reupholster your sofa with it. So when I'm suggesting paint colors, I like to think of paint as a backdrop versus the focal point.
I like that. And thinking about, I'm curious now about your house. Now, do you change the rooms in your house frequently, like color and bring in different things and move furniture around as you go along?
Okay, so this answer is going to disappoint everyone.
Oh.
Right now, I hate my house.
Oh, no.
I hate it. I can't stand it. But the thing is, and there's a perfectly logical reason why I like my house. I get exposed to so much stuff day in and day out. I cannot seem to ground myself and make a solid decision on how I want to live, because I'm able to adapt and embody what my clients need me to be at that time. It's like you almost lose yourself in the whole designing process. So while everybody is just like, oh, my God, I would love to get a sneak peek inside of our house, my house is, if I can say it, excuse my French, ASS. It's ass. I hate it. I would be my own worst client, because I have no clue what I would do with my own home if given the time or the resources to redo everything. I just know that it's not where I want it to be right now.
I kind of feel you in a way, because I'm constantly moving everything around in our house, and our house is never done.
Including, but not limited to, my wallet, my keys, my sunglasses.
I do.
Look like what it looked like yesterday.
I tell you, I move the spots to put like all those things, that clutter that happens on the kitchen counter. Like, I move that where that's going to be constantly, so he can never find his cue.
And by move, I mean hides and rehides.
Right. Everybody has that little secret drawer. It's me, one of those bedroom drawers, or it could be that drawer in your kitchen, the drawer that no one can open because it's just a mishmash of mail and keys and bobby pins and paper clips and things that don't even work anymore. It's just that forbidden drawer.
Yeah.
Everybody has that.
Yeah, and then on top of that, I always say, well, this would be a nice place to keep our stuff, you know, in this little basket or this other container. We'll put it by the front door. We'll put it by the back door.
I've never consulted Tiffany Brooks.
Yes.
Never consulted.
Never consulted.
Never consulted.
It's crazy. I can solve the craziest, big dilemmas that my clients have, but it will always remain a problem or a mystery in my own home.
So
it's
are
crazy.
You the walls in your house painted at all?
Yeah, my walls are painted.
Okay.
I have like this, it's kind of like this peachy, peanut buttery color on my walls, and that needs to go too. I've decided what I want to do in my head. It's just execution is also another problem, and every time I get ready to execute it, I see something else I fall in love with. Like right now, I am huge. I am all about this watercolor wallpaper I found online. All about it. But I can't put that in my living room. So I have to figure out a way to incorporate that and then be happy. But here's the trick. I have to be able to live with it until the next big thing happens. And it happens quite frequently with the designer.
Sure.
I absolutely love that. And I feel very comforted knowing that you're out there feeling that way because I feel that way too. And, you know, you should go to this website I just found. It's called youandyourdecor.com. There's this really good advice about picking paint colors and all kinds of things. And the designer that it's a website, her name's Tiffany Brooks, and she's really, you know, really in tune with how to make really beautiful spaces. The pictures on her website are gorgeous.
It's possible she's funny and nice to talk to as well.
Crazy. I heard about that girl. She's a little bit cute and fabulous, too.
She is fabulous, yes.
So you also have to follow her on Twitter at Tiffany B. Decor 8, the number 8. Check her out on Facebook. Check us out after this break, which we're taking right now. We'll be back with more My Fix It Up Life.
Meet me in the parking lot. I'll be there around 9 o'clock. Timing couldn't have been much better.
Looking for a no-hassles roof for your home? DaVinci Roofscapes offers affordable slate and shake roofing tiles that add long-term beauty to your home. The synthetic DaVinci tiles resist mold, algae, fungus, and insects. Backed by a 50-year warranty, DaVinci roofs are fire-resistant and withstand severe weather like high winds and hail. It's no wonder thousands of homeowners have chosen DaVinci slate and shake tiles to not only protect but enhance the beauty of their home. Learn more about award-winning DaVinci products at DaVinciRoofscapes.com or call 1-800-328-4624 today.
What a perfect day to play left, right there. The kettle and lime, feeling fine, sitting in your sidewalk chair.
You're back inside My Fix It Up Life with my wife, Teresa.
And my husband, Mark.
And sometimes you have to pay attention to that little voice inside you that says, you know what, this might just not be the best idea ever. When you're doing something to your house or you're doing a landscaping project, that little voice sometimes needs to be paid attention to.
It does, because, you know, it looks so much fun when you watch TV and you get inspired. You're flipping through, like, Better Homes and Gardens or, you know, HGTV magazine, and you're like, oh, that looks like such a fun thing to do. And then you get all these supplies and you go at it, and you've never done a DIY project before, and then, uh-oh.
Yeah, and the next thing, you're up against all these different mysteries and stuff.
Yes.
And should you stay or should you go?
Yes, and it can get more expensive, too.
And we're joined by Kathy Ziprick, who's got a list for us of DIY don'ts as it pertains to...
One of my favorite things in the whole world.
Oh, you are... Yeah, I'm not even going to say it for you.
Door-obsessed.
Door-stuff.
I think most girls are door-obsessed, though, too. Do you think that's true, Kathy?
Girls love doors, and we love to paint the doors and get them to reflect the colors that we have with our energy and our homes and our designs.
Yes, and then we decorate our doors. I just read a blog from a Canadian recently, and she is fascinated with Americans' obsession with, you know, doing wreaths and decorating our doors. She says for every holiday, it seems that all American bloggers are doing something for their door. Like, we
she
have
must know you.
She must know me. Seriously. And I am door obsessed, just like everybody else, I guess, all the other girls in this country.
I think you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And you can do a lot with those front doors. But as Mark said, there's a lot of things you cannot do with your front door.
Okay, give it to us straight. What should we not do with our door?
All right, I'm going to start with the biggest no-no that I know, and that is never, ever drill or nail a hole in the door. Now, you might consider doing that because of the fact that you'd like to hang the decorative wreaths on that, or someone else would. But according to my experts at Therma-Tru, that is the worst thing you can do because it harms the interior of the door's insulating value. It can void the warranty, which you don't want to have happen, and it can actually, in some cases, rust out an area. So it is a big no-no.
So keep in mind that when you're decorating your door, it's not like when you're decorating the inside of your house and you can, you know, just fill it up later, you know?
Yeah, and not to mention, I've seen, Kathy, the don't door that you describe, and it kind of looks like buckshot has hit it after a few seasons of decorations and thumbtacks and holes drilled into it. And
you are so right.
Warranty or not, it looks good at the holiday or occasion, but for the rest of the year, it's a disaster area.
Yeah, but more importantly, I go back again to the fact that it voids out the warranty, and it harms the insulating value of that door. That's something you don't want to do, no matter how pretty your wreath is. Something else you don't want to do is tackle a painting project on your own if you've never done a door before. Now, I'm not saying it's not a DIY project, but I am saying you've got to know a couple of good things first in order to paint a door, okay?
We're actually sitting here nodding our heads at each other, agreeing to you in silence, because you're right. Painting a door actually is more than just throwing some color on there.
Well, and the first mistake someone could make is go, oh, gee, I'm just going to go paint my door, and they use a paint that's wrong for the door, or they don't use the appropriate primer first. Let's face it, you've got all kinds of doors out there. You've got fiberglass, wood, steel. You have to know what kind of door you have and know the right paint and primer first and foremost for that door. So you have to do research before you go home with a bucket of orange paint and decide that today is the day you're going pumpkin orange. So the other thing you should do is never, ever paint a door while it's hanging in place. Sure, it looks easy, just like it would if you were having a wall and you were painting a wall, but what can happen is it may drip, and that's going to give you a miserable-looking final product. So you have to take the door off its hinges, and you have to position the door on sawhorses in order to paint the door first. And the other thing not to do is don't think it's a beautiful day outside and you're just going to do this in your driveway. Because what will happen is as you're painting, you'll get nice little leaves or pollen or whatever coming down from the sky and falling and adhering to that wet paint. So if you are going to paint, you need a controlled setting like a closed-in basement or a closed-in garage so that you don't have any problems. So these kind of tips from Therma-Tru can really help keep you out of trouble when you're working with your door.
Well, that short circuits my new wreath idea, pine needles and insects, randomly speckled in my pumpkin orange paint.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about this.
It's original.
The disastrous door with like the buckshot that you're talking about, with drips of paint, with all kinds of things and stuff that's fallen off of your trees.
So painting might be something best left to a professional, although you get to pick out the color. Now, the one thing you can do with your door on a regular basis is you can clean it to keep it looking fresh once you've got it either painted or stained. But make sure, here's another don't for you, don't use any harsh chemicals to clean the door because that can strip it away. You can fade out your stain on the door. So all you really need to do on a door to keep it looking fresh is a soap and water solution. That's it. don't spray it with a big spray hose when you're sitting there taking care of the concrete out front. That's a definite no-no. Just go at it with soap and water.
I could just imagine someone power washing their front door and how horrified the spouse must be.
Well, and how horrified the person who does it is when they break the seal in the glass fill it with condensation.
Oh, no.
And they say to themselves, but where did that come from?
The other thing, too, with, you know, if you're thinking about updating your door, you might want to look at, you know, all the different things about your door, because maybe it's time to replace your door, too. So keep that in mind this time of year as well.
Absolutely. If you invest in a fiberglass door, for example, that's solid, as opposed to a wood door, you're going to get 4 times more insulation value. So you've got a lot of good reasons to invest in a new door.
Saving money, making me happy, and it's made with bugs. We got to fly out of here.
So go to Therma-True.com for more information about your next new beautiful door. We got to go out of here.
We'll be back with more of my Fix-It-Up Life.
Though it was a fine print love, bag to pack, heading got lost in talent. Story goes it was worth the cost. You should know I was changed for the better. Caught in the breeze, I'm on my knees and begging, keep this together.
Got paint prep? Do it the high way, not the hard way, with Hyde's 14-in-1 multi-tool. Scrapes paint, spreads spackle, sets nails, it even cleans rollers. It screws and unscrews just about anything. There's even a bottle opener. Buy it online at Amazon.com.
You're back inside my Fix It Up Life with my wife, Teresa.
And my husband, Mark.
And don't do it.
I say that a lot because you usually move before I finish a sentence. Like, I make a suggestion, and you're already, like, getting tools together. You're already going at it. You're running around. I mean, you're fast, and I usually say,
Got to make it happen.
Got to make it happen now.
And I want to make it happen at lightning speed because that's fun.
I guess it's fun.
I like it.
I like to be a little bit more deliberate. I like to try to plan things out and try to plan when we're doing it, how we're doing it, what we need, draw it, you know, figure everything out and go a little bit more methodically.
I go by my muse.
But you always say we're never going to get anything done if we go by my way. And we have a friend on the line right now, and I'm wondering which way he likes better.
Ed Sanders, AMC's Owner's Manual, Extreme Makeover Home Edition, woodworking expert, and more. Ed, how do you roll? Is it the muse? Does the art take you? Or do you think your way through it more or less?
I felt for a second I was phoning into like a Dr. Drew Loveline episode. No, you're talking about the same thing here. You guys are talking about doing it fast and methodical and planning it out. What exactly are we talking about?
Oh, I forgot to tell you, I'm also Adam Carolla.
How are we doing, guys? Good morning to you both.
Likewise, and we're doing great. We're so excited to talk to you again.
So you had a party at your house. 20 little girls and glitter.
Oh, like, Teresa, done. My wife, this was not even a week ago, okay? And we still haven't got all the glitter up off the floor. I don't even know what my beautiful wife was thinking when she, every year we're known for our little Halloween party. We get all of our kids' friends over, and my wife and I turn all the lights out in the house. We shut all the blinds so it's pitch black. Well, of course we feed them and let them have fun. But then we have this hour game of scaring the living daylights out of them. And we absolutely scare the living daylights out of them. But to bring them all down this year, my wife added the fatal glitter to the pumpkin making, shaping, carving competition. And all of the kids, the majority of the little ones, friends of my girls, they I don't think they'd ever heard of the word glue, which you need to put on something to then throw the glitter on. They just emptied bags and bags of glitter loosely on top of their pumpkins, which then fell on the floor on their clothes, and then 20 kids proceeded to trample glitter over every square foot of the house.
So basically
I know which rooms they've been in, because they shouldn't have been in those rooms, because there's glitter everywhere.
That's really smart, though, to be able to just dump glitter on all of your guests and then make sure that they're not going into places you don't want them to go in your house. And then put color glitter for each one of your guests. So, like, you're blue, someone's pink, and then you know where everyone's been. That's smart.
There is a simpler idea, Teresa. You can just lock the door and don't let them in that room.
Well, speaking of doors, do you have enough doors in your house to lock
it? Yes! The doors are done!
We've been tracking this story.
Oh, that's
fantastic.
That's fantastic. Congratulations. And locking your door is actually a really smart move.
We've been tracking this story for 3 years.
We have been.
God.
Yeah.
The only person more excited than you guys is my wife.
Well, I'm very happy for her.
Thank you, guys. She can finally take a bath without the kids kind of running in on her.
So, but we're talking about DIY don'ts today, and with all the work that you've done in your woodworking career, on your television career, you know, I'm sure you've seen a lot of ridiculous stunts and don'ts that other people have attempted, because quite frankly, you haven't, I'm sure.
Yep. I've got a long list of do's and don'ts for me, and whenever I do, like the trade shows that I've seen you guys at, you know, various home shows around America, I often do a talk, and I talk about, you know, whatever show I'm doing or building, and there's always a lot of no-nos for woodworkers or avid builders, and I always say to people, first and foremost, know your limitations, and I don't mean that in a derogatory bad way, but I don't know how many houses I've gone to in Britain and now in America where someone's called me up and they said, we kind of need your help, Ed. We kind of decided to put some French doors in, and we thought it would be easy just to take the old ones out and knock some of the wall out. But they haven't checked if the city's happy with it. They haven't checked if they needed a beam or a steel or a lintel in the ceiling. They haven't realized how big a scope the job is. And I always say to people, you know, I would never attempt to do my own taxes. I would never attempt to do brain surgery because I'm not trained in any of that. You know, and I always tell people, know your limitations. You know, you kind of know if a job is too big to take on. Know your limitations.
I like the comparison to brain surgery because no one's going to slice open their head and then say, you know, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be doing in here. Let me call a surgeon.
Is that the frontal cortex? Wait, I stopped breathing.
Do I need my frontal lobe? I don't know. Well, being prepared and reading the directions is so appropriate for your show, Owner's Manual. And how are you doing on that show? Because you're doing a lot of very different things and without directions.
Yeah. When I first signed up for this show, they said to me, Ed, it's going to be you and a co-host, and it's going to kind of be pretty much every week you're going to challenge like a small piece of machinery, and you're just going to have a go at it and see what's going to entail. I said, okay, no problem. Sounds easy enough, small piece of machinery. Well, in the space of 10 months from the audition to actually shooting, the idea changed tenfold, and from working on small pieces of machinery to flying stunt planes over the Pacific Ocean and sailing tall ships and working on logging equipment. I swear our producers must have been drunk when they thought up half of these challenges. I swear they go to the pub every week. They go to the pub every week for their production meeting, have a few pints and say, right, what can we get Ed and Marcus doing this week? And they just come up with their bucket list of hell for us. Because I'm not the best with heights, and the stunt plane episode, you know, I passed out very badly in the plane. And I swear to God, I've never been in a situation where I've nearly puked and pooped my pants at the same time. I can't say it any other way.
I guess you've never been pregnant then, huh?
I'll take your word for that.
All right, there you go.
We have to take a break. So we'll be back. Thank you, Ed Sanders. Check him out at Lucky Limey Ed on Twitter. We'll be back with more of my Fix It Up Live.
Grab your things and come with me. We're going to the pub, we'll drink all night till we reach the morning light.
You're back inside my Fix It Up Life, and we're at the end of the show. So make life fun and join us next time for more my Fix It Up Life.
Just a pretty face looking back at me. It might be an idle conversation piece. It might be another wasted memory, but I